This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
One of my good friends will either talk college football or whatever's happening with the construction over on Pershing Road, because that's what we want to talk about, but maybe college football. It is our good friend from CBS Sports, Chip Patterson. What's going on, dude?
What's going on? Good show so far. Got to listen into a little bit. So you're doing great out there, bud.
Appreciate it. I feel like every time I fill in, the V Foundation has like a guest on here. Like, I'm not saying the gold's ducking them. I'm just saying I land with them a lot. And I get, you know, I try and spice it up, but it's easier when they're in person. Look at you. You got a lower third now. It's like a real deal TV show. Chip Patterson, properly labeled on the TV. Folks who want to can watch on WRL Sports fan.com and WRAL Sports Plus. Look at that. Look at me nailing the roots.
On over the air channel, this also airs in primetime. Like, I have been viewed during dinner by in-laws, at which time I was like, oh, I guess I need to raise the bar in terms of appearance here, as I
see you dressed up
television for someone. Yeah,
also,
exactly.
At what age, and like, look, you love your parents. I love my parents. I love your parents. We love each other's parents, right? At what age do like parents not really grasp, like if physically they are viewing it on a TV, then it's like you're on TV, right? Yeah. Which is like there are different levels of TV. There's streaming and you can put stuff on TV. But like there's people over a certain age that think that was the same on TV that like Pat Sajak will be on later tonight, you know, or whatever. Like that TV, you're on TV. There's always that.
Well, yeah, you can always throw them and be like, oh, I'm on CBS, and just let them watch CBS for hours on end waiting to find me pop up. I will not.
All right. Why is the Sun Belt so good? They did it this weekend with a bunch of high profile. This past weekend, they're going to get some love. I know they're coming to Boone, North Carolina, but you know that the game day decision was let's do a whole Sun Belt thing, and we'll be at the Sun Belt capital, Boone, North Carolina. But they've been good for a couple years now. Coastal was the team du jour a couple years ago. Arkansas State a few years before that, I feel like, was the team that was scaring everybody. What is there something that's been consistent about these Sun Belt teams when they've been good, and why they're always usually a couple of them that are?
Well, I mean, fundamentally, I just think the Sun Belt has gone the opposite of the American Athletic Conference, which is we are not going to care about the how close you are to an airport or how close you are to a metropolitan area. We are going to go for places that are a little bit off the beaten path, but where there's incredible support. And like Marshall, by the way, is like a new addition to the Sun Belt. This is their first year playing in the Sun Belt. They just came over from Conference USA. Southern Miss just came over from Conference USA. Old Dominion as well. James Madison, a new Sun Belt member. Like these are places that are not necessarily easy to get to, but the community around these programs has been built up over years and years of success, much of it at the FCS level, like App State. And so I think it was that zig when everyone else zags, you know, we're going to run the option because everybody else is throwing the ball all the time. The Sun Belt said, we don't care about airports. We don't care about metro areas. We care about the support and the community around these programs because we think that creates a winning atmosphere. That's always been the case at Marshall. That's always been the case at App State. Coastal Carolina, obviously a very new program, but we saw in the phenomenon that was last season exactly what they had going on. The Sun Belt has been on a trajectory to be the best Group of Five conference for maybe 2 to 3 years now. App State even finishing in the top 25 of the college football playoff rankings a couple years ago. And I think that what we saw last Saturday only further cemented some of the smart hires and some of the smart investments that these programs have done. But if you want to take it and just do a big broad stroke, it's that the Sun Belt is not caring about some of your traditional what makes you valuable in conference realignment factors. They care the most about passion, about history, and about how much support you have from the local community.
Well, when I hear you describing it, it sounds like you're described the program-wise that fit in the Sun Belt. I'm hearing you describe East Carolina. Like, would they have been better off years ago? I mean, that was kind of the swag and vibe that they always carried of the, like, the we don't care as much. We've got the passion. We know what's happening in Greenville. We know the kids that are, you know, good wide receivers in the eastern part of the state are going to want to come here because they see how cool it is to be here. Is that – and in ways it feels like, to me, I was saying even earlier, App State has almost kind of stolen that mantle of, all right, we're not, you know, ACC school, but we're really cool – because with the support we've got in this cool college town we've got, like, would ECU have been better off all this time in the Sun Belt?
Well, ECU was joining a league that at the time still had Cincinnati and Houston and UCF, and that is a better football league when those football programs are all good. The problem is they're all going to be in the Big 12 next year, and the American Athletic Conference is going to look a whole lot different. So now you're looking to ECU to be one of the leaders there. You're looking at Memphis to be one of the leaders there, SMU to be one of the leaders there. So the makeup of the American Athletic Conference as ECU was looking to make its move was better than the Sun Belt. But then again, I mentioned Sun Belt just recently went out and got Marshall, just recently went out and got ODU, just recently went out and got Southern Miss. So it has been recent moves in conference realignment that have positioned the Sun Belt to be able to add to that Coastal Carolina, App State. I mean, look, the Sun Belt West has not been great. That's the other thing that we need to look at is that, you know, Georgia State, Georgia Southern, App State, Coastal Carolina, they've all been in the Sun Belt East Division for a long time. And that's why I've always called it the Sun Beast on the Cover 3 podcast, not the Pick 6 podcast. Shout out to the producers, but just heads up on that. So the West was where Billy Napier, now Florida head coach, has been winning games at Louisiana. But Billy Napier had the Sun Belt West locked up in like mid-October. I mean, it has been just a bottom, bottom, bottom pulling side of the conference. But everything that we saw, you know, the Georgia Southern win, that's a Sun Belt East team. Georgia State threatening North Carolina, Sun Belt East team. And that side of the division, as long as they continue division play, which I don't know what their thinking is there, it is one of the best divisions and one of the most entertaining divisions that you'll find in all of college football.
What's the fate of like an App State though now? So like they obviously had a high profile game against North Carolina, a high profile game against Texas A&M. If not for game day coming in town, I mean, the irony is, and I'm not trying to bag on it at all. The irony is game day is usually at like the biggest game of the week. It used to be always ESPN. Well, not always. They could sometimes be at a CBS game, but it used oftentimes was a game that they were carrying themselves, right? The irony now is their game day's in Boone, and then the game's on ESPN Plus. Like ESPN's not even carrying it on their like top four tier of schools. So like ultimately this win's been great for them. The North Carolina game was a great atmosphere, and this, because it's game day, will be a great one too. But like casual fan that's even talking about how awesome it is, isn't gonna watch the next six games of App playing Sunbelt opponents, right? So it's like, is the best you can hope to do is hope to go undefeated and you're staying in the conversation? Or is it like, have your fun? I feel like ECU used to be this too, of like, you play Virginia Tech and then you play State and you get your two shots, or you play South Carolina, you get your three big games, maybe you go 1-2 or 2-1 and your season's awesome, then we're not going to pay attention to your next seven games, and then we'd love to see where you end up in a bowl game. Is that just the structure of college football and how it works, and that's okay? Or is the expansion of the playoff mean that App State's even a team that could think we could be in a top 12 at some point?
So that's where I think it's more of the challenge. When you do the, and now what? We just beat Texas A&M on the road. What does that mean? And that's where I say your challenge is now to be the highest ranked group of five team. And that is 100% there. When you've got highest ranked group of five champion, when you've got that Texas A&M win, if you limit the losses, which of course you need to do to win the Sun Belt, but if you show up at the end of the season and you are a one-loss team, which they have one, obviously, maybe even a two-loss team, but you've got that Texas A&M win, then you're going to be in contention to go play in one of the biggest bowl games. You're not going to play in the college football playoff, but you might go play in the Sugar Bowl. You might go play in the Cotton Bowl. Yeah. And guess what? Like, App State wasn't even playing in bowl games a decade ago. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is a program that has just made the transition into the FBS from the big picture. And to think that in short order, you've run off Sun Belt championships and you find yourself against one of the top teams in the country on one of those big stages at the end of the season, that is in the cards. And I don't know if that was always going to be in the cards without the win against Texas A&M, but that win is going to hold, no matter what happens with Texas A&M, that win in College Station is going to hold enough weight that they are going to be considered by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee to be among the best group of five teams in the country, which is going to position them very well to maybe get a New Year's Six Bowl. And that's why it's like, okay, now we look at a Troy team which, by the way, gave Ole Miss some problems in the opener.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the rest of that Sun Belt schedule that I talked about, a quality Coastal Carolina program, a Georgia State, Georgia Southern, James Madison, which has just hit the ground running at the FBS level themselves. Like, it is going to be running with an egg and a spoon if your final finish line is trying to make it to the New Year's Six. But with the Texas A&M victory, if they win the Sun Belt, then I think they're going to be very well positioned to do that. And that would be an amazing moment for that program.
We're going to talk some more on the other side. Give me a quick answer on this one. I don't think you're not an AP top 25 voter, are you?
I am not.
Great hypotheticals. If App had beat UNC, where would you have them in the top 25 right now?
They'd probably be in the – so what I do is I project the AP top 25 okay. every single Saturday night. And I think they'd probably be around 15.
Interesting. It was very close to being that. But obviously, UNC fans would like to like it noted that they did get the win. We'll talk some more with Chip Patterson. UNC, Duke, NC State, Wake, all undefeated. Are they all for real? Well, that's Chip next.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely. Good.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
About 30 minutes from now, we got to place our bets, so I may have to use part of my segment with Chip to ask him for bets that I can place. Hey, do we have college football on Wednesday nights yet? When does that start up?
November.
November?
Yeah. What?
There's some league that would shame itself to play on a Wednesday night right now just to be on ESPN. What's ESPN? Are they got baseball? Is that what's happening?
It's Maction. Remember? The Mac takes over Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and part of that also lines up with the college football playoff rankings release, which starts in October and beginning of November.
So a bad Mac game is just a backdrop for us to get our standings show?
Yeah, you've got to do the 30-minute rankings release so that you can feed into what's going down in DeKalb, Illinois, with Kent State in town to play Northern Illinois, the Huskies, the Flashes at 7:30.
There's a great – I don't know when this started. I only became aware of it last year, but the Twitter account, the College Football Sickos Committee. It was fantastic. Just people that can't get enough of college football, no matter how bad or how obscure the teams may be. Chip Patterson from CBS Sports and the Cover 3 podcast, just recently updated. Well done on the fly by the producer, Dennis Cox. I know. He got it in real time. I know. He got it. All right. Everybody's talking about App State this, App State that. But the ACC teams are undefeated. We're looking right past them. So right now I want to ask you who's for real and who's for not real of the Big Four. I know we did a whole segment on App State. So just rest it, App State fans. You got to listen. This is a big market show, and we're talking big market teams. So let's start with the smallest of the four. Wake's 2-0. Sam Hartman's back. They are feeling that. Like, I feel like NC State last year was playing the disrespect card. Wake is playing some strong disrespect card. They didn't get picked high in the ACC preseason, and people couldn't explain why. They feel like they've got a quarterback, they've got players, they've got receivers, they've got old dudes, they got a proven system. So I'm assuming that Wake is legit at 2-0, correct?
No, without a doubt. Okay. And they can score on anybody. I mean, it's the ceiling on Wake Forest success is always going to be determined by are you going to be able to win the physical battle up front against Clemson, which historically is no, but can you score on almost everyone? Yes. So I think that having Sam Hartman back so early is such a great positive to take away. And, after a little bit of a slow start, the offense obviously just put a big number up on Vanderbilt, but defense also gave up some yards too. It was within the context of a shootout with a very big lead, but that's you made a change at defensive coordinator. You brought in Brad Lambert, and there's supposed to be some things that were fixed on the defensive side of the ball. I can count on, much like, you know, I don't want to like spoil it, but like much like I know what to expect from North Carolina, I know what to expect from Wake Forest. And whether or not it is for real or not depends on your expectations.
Real quick on this, Dave, is there any chance that Dave Clawson is entering like Bob McKillop territory where he just realized this is going to be, I'm competing at a high level and this is the best fit and there's no reason to chase anything better than this? Or, I mean, he's been a guy at Tennessee. Like, is there any part of him that wants to see if he can make one more run at an SEC job or a Big Ten job that, that put him in a place to succeed?
Well, the great West Durham, the mayor, was on this fine program yesterday, and he brought up a point that, you know, I've passed along as well. So if you didn't listen and check it out on the podcast, I can go ahead and tell you, just look at the programs where Dave Clawson has been a head coach. Because you're right about his time at Tennessee, but that was a very short tenure as an offensive coordinator. You know, his head coaching stops, Fordham, Richmond, you know, Wake Forest. These are small schools. These are smaller programs. And I think that, you know, Bob McKillop territory is a great place to be, where he could go down as like one of the most beloved coaches in Wake Forest football history. And that, you know, with the relationships that he's built up with the power players around Wake Forest, with the investments that he's gotten from the Wake Forest community, I kind of see him definitely being in that position where he is comfortable and he's going to try to continue to get better. I don't think he's going to be, you know, I don't think he's going to get comfortable in the bad way. I think he always wants to improve. Complacent. Yeah. Great word. Thank you, Hayes. But I definitely Bob McKillop territory, where he can continue to roll off winning seasons in a great place where he's comfortable. I see that happening more likely than trying to go chase a Big Ten job or an SEC job.
NC State is 2-0. Close game against ECU, closer than they wanted, maybe closer than people who had high hopes for NC State would have wanted, although ECU may be a great team. They bounced back against ODU, and then obviously took care of business against Charleston Southern. 2-0, are they for real?
Not yet. Definitely not yet. I think that this against Texas Tech should be terrifying, because Texas Tech is running a version of the air raid offense that Mississippi State was able to run successfully against NC State just last season. And Donovan, like, yes, they lose Tyler Shuck at quarterback, but Donovan Smith is just as good. And so I think this is going to be a real challenge for an NC State team that loves to handle its business with the defense leading the way and, you know, the offense playing some complimentary football. If the defense has a couple breakdowns against this offense, then all of a sudden you're going to really ask Devin Leary in this offense to have to score a bunch. Now, you know, I think we've seen throughout Devin Leary's time that you throw him on the clock, you let him go a little up tempo, start taking advantage of having control of the game on the field in his hands. He's been able to be productive. He's been able to step up to the task. But I think that I cannot take anything from the Charleston Southern game. It was great for stat padding and making everybody feel good. But on Saturday night with Texas Tech in town, I think that offense presents some real challenges. You know, it's an experienced defense, but if that experienced defense had some trouble against Mississippi State, might have some trouble against Texas Tech as well. I think that it is TBD on whether NC State is for real.
And then maybe the most fun are they for real question is North Carolina. I saw a GIF that described North Carolina's 3-0 start, and it was like there's like five cars parked in a row, and there's an open spot, you know, in between them with like three on one side, two on another, and a car comes flying in and like wrecks into three of the parked cars, but happens to fall perfectly in the open spot. And it's like, that's North Carolina, like, getting to 3-0. Are they for real? I mean, is it, you could. The optimist could say college football is about offense. Go score points, and like let's see if your point at the end of the day, let's line up our point totals and see whose is bigger. Is UNC for real with its let's outscore you offense?
I think UNC is exactly who it is. It is an NFL quarterback and a Conference USA defense. And as much as you can get out of a game with an NFL quarterback and a Conference USA defense, then yeah, like, you could beat almost anyone. But if all of a sudden a couple three and outs start stacking up on top of each other, that up-tempo offense puts the defense out there time and time again. If they don't fix some of the communication throughout that defense, like, this is a team that's going to continue to give up a whole lot of points and a whole lot of touchdowns. So I'm like, again, like I said, with Wake Forest, they are for real in that they are exactly what I expect, and there's a ceiling on that success because it's not fully well-rounded. But depending on what your goals and expectations are for what they're going to accomplish, like, North Carolina looks like a really, really fun 8-4 team. And they're probably going to lose some games because of the defense and because the offense will sputter its wheels at some point and have a bad game and it'll cost them. But, you know, it's a Conference USA defense with an NFL quarterback.
Wake State and UNC, not a surprise. You know, UNC got there in shaky fashion, but certainly no, they're not shocking anyone to be undefeated at this point. Duke has probably been the most surprising team at 2-0. Are they for real beating Northwestern like that after Northwestern had beaten Nebraska, I believe?
100% for real. And it's honestly like pretty fun to see that Duke is out there exceeding expectations. And I'm happy for the roster just because we did that thing where everyone loved and still loves David Cutcliffe and appreciated and appreciates all that he was able to do for the football program. But sometimes the end of a tenure can be like really, really awkward. And it happens even with national championship winning coaches. The end of Bobby Bowden's tenure at Florida State was a little bit tough and a little bit awkward. And I think that to have that hanging over the team and to have that energy around the team, I think it has to wear on you. And so for the juniors and the seniors on this Duke team, to see them playing winning football, to see them playing with sort of a different vibe around the program and on the sidelines, I think that is really, really cool. You nab a couple wins early. You got a really sort of dangerous Kansas team also with that road trip coming up in a little bit. I think that there's a chance that this Duke team, based on like the foundation that they lay right now, might take, you know, 3-4 years or so. But if they really like dial in to what Mike Elko's plan is, then I think that we could see the Blue Devils level back up and cycle back up so that Duke in a bowl game is not some rarity, you know, pretty soon.
I hope no Duke fans take this the wrong way, but I honestly, it was one of the smartest things where David Cutcliffe came in and was like, yo, here's how we're doing scheduling. We're trying to schedule 4 wins, and then we're going to try and win 2 ACC games, and that's a bowl game. And so, like, how many, you tell me I got to play 2 Power 5 teams? All right, Kansas?
Northwestern,
like Vanderbilt's already playing. Wait, all right, okay, all right. Like, you know, but I love it. That's the philosophy. Those are the teams they should be playing. Kansas and Northwestern, and go try and beat them, and have yourself a good 6-7 win season. And if you're good enough, go win 6 ACC games, and you'll win 10 games. So, I love it. All right, I was going to play good line or bad line, but I don't want to force you through sitting through 3 lines. So let me just ask you about one specifically. And I'm still mad that there's no football tonight because I needed football to bet on in place your bets. Texas A&M just took it on the chin against App State, embarrassed themselves with their bad stand-up comedy at the Rebel Yell or whatever it is. And then the Yell, what's it called? Yell
Midnight Yell. Weird.
And then, even worse, it's like, whatever, it's your tradition, it's fine, people are going to mock it, yeah, especially when you lose. But then you compound it with the trying to pull it off the internet, right? But all that aside, doesn't really matter. What does matter is they lost to App State, meaning maybe they weren't the 6th best team in the country, and now they're playing Miami, who looks kind of good, is undefeated, they come in, Texas A&M 5-point favorites. Can you explain that to me?
Well, Texas A&M, as you remember, only had 1 offensive touchdown against App State.
One was
a
return.
They needed a special teams touchdown to get the other one. The offense is absolutely dreadful. Everybody's up in arms about Jimbo, their, you know, $10 million a year coach who's out there supposedly as an offensive guru when he hasn't produced a good quarterback or a good wide receiver since Jameis at Florida State. The shine is really wearing off of this guy, no matter how much he can talk about his boots or pose with the right dog. I think this offense is in trouble and is not going to have a lot of success against Miami, but I don't like Miami's offense very much either. They're a little bit banged up at running back. They don't have good pass catchers. Look, the 5.5 is probably a good line because the most important number here is that under, because this game is going to be 21-17. This game is going to be like nothing but field goals and special teams touchdowns. I think this thing's a total rock fight between like a very good Texas A&M defense and then also a Texas A&M offense that can't get out of its own way. I would not lay anything above a touchdown with Texas A&M because I can't trust Texas A&M to score them. And then I ask this question a lot. Do you trust Miami not to go in Miami?
No, I know. I figured that was going to be the answer.
Yeah, I mean, because if Miami – this is – oh, I love doing the vibes. So if Miami shows up and Miami's it up, then we're talking false start penalties on offense, roughing the passer on defense, giving the game away. You had the stop on third down, but we see the flag, you know, over in the corner.
Yeah, you had the pick, but somebody took out the quarterback. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that would be not being ready for the situation. But if they can hold off on that sweet Miami smell that has lingered around the program for so long, then late in this game, those bad, frustrated vibes, I think, would flip it to a home field disadvantage. Yep. Like, let Texas A&M quarterback Haynes King throw two picks, no touchdowns, and have it be 17-14 in the fourth quarter. They will be playing tight. They will be playing not to lose. And the energy of the 100,000 Texas A&M fans in Kyle Field will not be something that will benefit the Aggies. I mean, listen, listeners here know about when a building flips on you and the dread sort of sets in and impacts the play. So if Miami can hold off Miamiing it up at the beginning of the game, keep this low score and keep this tight, then I think that you've got the vibes advantage at the end. I think what you risk is falling in a deep hole where you're mad at yourself and Mario's flipping out because the team that he's trying to preach discipline to isn't playing disciplined. So it's an appropriate line because it's under a touchdown and I don't trust either of these teams to score. So that's why I would say unders in the 40s for your shorties.
Chip Patterson, Cover 3 Podcast, CBS Sports. Let's go catch a game at High Park sometime soon.
Let's do it. Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Shout out Bill Duff if you're still listening. Chip Patterson joins every Wednesday at 1 o'clock here on the Adam Gold Show. And now it's time for Orange Slices. It's halftime.
And now your halftime entertainment.
Orange Slice.
It's halftime, right?
I know, yeah. It's the,
isn't that what you do?
That is the term. That is the term. By the way, since I know you're obviously not impacted by this at all because you're not as cool as many of us, the iOS 16 update's available for your iPhone.
Yeah, I thought they still do phone update. I thought whenever you needed an update, you're supposed to just throw it away and get a new phone. I thought that's what Apple wanted you to do.
No,
like,
no.
Why do they send updates? Like, oh, you got a bug? Just trash it. Get a new phone, man. Just need a new phone.
No, that's the celebrity way of doing things. For us normal common folk, that's not how things are done. But the iOS 16 update is out there. I updated mine today. A lot of added features, which I think is actually really kind of cool. A lot of more customization that you can do, especially on your lock screen, things like that. Not that you care
that
because you're
you?
An Android. Yes.
It excites lock screen?
Yeah.
Lock screen changes? Yeah. You know, what I like about my phone is not changing anything. Mm-hmm. Like when I get a new
phone,
you don't
have to change anything.
I'm looking for the phone that like most seamlessly does exact. I'm like, can you make it so my apps appear in the exact same place? I know it's a total disorganized mess, but now my head knows where they are. That's what I want. I want my lock screen. I don't want it to be customized. I want it to be the exact same as it's always been. That's the update I want. Like, just be faster, but everything else the same.
Okay.
That's my update.
I mean, that's totally up to you. That's totally fine.
All right.
But hey, you do you. You do you, sir. You do you.
I will. Team Android for life.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Leave me off your group chat. I don't care.
This is also coming
from
the guy
on green.
Yeah, you will be.
I'll be
there
in there on green.
This is also
I don't care.
Coming from the guy who's had Mac laptop, who's literally brought in a Mac desktop computer in this studio and use it, but yet you won't use an Apple phone.
I'm not a sheep to the man. I'm not.
Oh, you like to spread yourself.
I'm not a thought
out.
Slave. Yeah, no.
Okay, that's fair.
No, I use Apple because I'm a rinky-dink video editor, and I need the like play school version that Apple teaches me, like paint by numbers. So that's why I have them.
That's fair.
Other than that, I'm Team Google.
I respect that. All right. Next up, I think the Undisputed with Skip and Shannon, I believe is the name of the show on FS1. Basically, their version of First Take.
Sure.
I think they got ghosted by Micah Parsons. Here, listen to this.
So we had equipment installed in Micah's home in the Dallas area. And when we made the big grand announcement, he immediately tweeted about how excited he was to join us.
Correct.
Then yesterday came, and all day yesterday, we could not reach Micah. Then as we got into the evening, we couldn't even reach any of his people. So it led us to believe, well, maybe he was just crushed by the opening night loss, which is highly possible. We are still extremely hopeful that he will join us next Tuesday.
Why does Skip sound so serious, like he's a missing person or something?
Yeah, there's that.
Come on your show, dude. It's good.
I think he's crushed that Micah Parsons is there. I can relate to this in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
It's called online dating. That's exactly what this turned out to be.
Wow.
You're anticipating a date. You know, you set something up, and then it's time for that date to come around, and then you either get ghosted. You know, someone just no-shows you, they ghost you, or they just stop talking to you and you reach out to them. Or because they reschedule, be like, okay, that's cool, and you maybe set a rescheduled date, or you ask about it, and then they ghost you. So, yeah, I can totally understand what these guys are going through. Not that I care about their feelings.
Does this happen to you a lot?
It's happened a few times.
Is this a pattern?
No, not a pattern. It happens, though. It's called online dating.
Do you have a lot of lacrosse in your profiles and bios?
No, I don't, actually.
Maybe a lot of comic books? What do you got in there?
Really,
I'm kidding. There's people that share all kinds of interests.
Yeah, but no, it's a relatable thing.
No, okay, here's my guess. Here's, ready? Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. I do like your analogy of online dating. Yes. But as a producer, I know you know this, too.
Yeah.
Where do Skip and Shannon film Undisputed or whatever that show is?
I think they're in Los Angeles.
They're in L.A.?
I think so.
Where is the other guy?
Parsons is in Dallas.
You know what I think we have?
Time zone?
I think we got a good old-fashioned time zone issue, boys. That is, it's not producer, it's not radio TV producer 101, but it's like 102. It's like page 3 is, did you get the time zone right?
Yeah.
Did you say 1 o'clock our time or your time? And it is... I won't say I'm a smart person. I used to be like a very smart person. I will brag about the intelligence that I used to have.
Okay.
I have frittered it away, wasted it. I used to speak Spanish nearly fluently. Can barely do that now. I used to do math very quickly in my head, right? Mm-hmm. And yet still somehow, again, admittedly, not nearly as smart now. I've wasted it away. Somehow, when I was radio producing, I would always feel dumb doing time zones. Like, partly because you're just overthinking it because you don't want to get wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so it's 1 o'clock here, it's 12 o'clock there. So, and again, it's simple and it shouldn't be hard, but the pressure is, if you say it wrong, everything goes wrong and all this correspondence is worthless.
Oh, yeah.
So you're, like, very carefully doing it again. And it's one of those where, because now you can Google it, you're, like, double-checking on Google. Hold on, make sure it's... just 1 hour, and you know what, Google, go ahead and do the math for me again. If I'm in Raleigh, what time is it in Dallas or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Like, I do it every different way, that makes me feel like I'm stupid, but hopefully I'm just being a thorough producer. I don't know.
I totally understand. So, for example, if you're maybe working through a third party to set up a guest, in this era, like not too long ago, we had Jay Farrow on Adam Gold. So he's based out of L.A., but he was performing in Raleigh. So, talking about on the show, they know he's going to be here in Raleigh, or at least on this show. Even the people that you're communicating with, knowing that he's going to be on the East Coast, still can't get the time right. But we're able to get him on. But that was like a thing. Just hoops you got to jump through and all that. But also,
I'm guessing time zone issue. That's my guess.
That could be a thing. But also, last thing on this is just knowing how it is working in this business. Sometimes you reach out to people for interviews, and you start getting a good response back, and then people just
disappear.
Just disappear.
Yep.
It's a thing that happens.
Happens.
Ghosted, just like online dating. By the way, I went and saw Clerks 3 last night.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It was fun. The problem was I missed the first 10 minutes. Oh, yeah. So here's my gripe.
Were you waiting for your online date in the lobby? And she didn't show, so you were late?
I wish that was the case. I wish it was. No. So I've been conditioned going to the movies that there's 20, 25 minutes of previews ahead of time.
Yes.
So the movie started at 7.
So you're like, I'll roll in there 7:08.
So yeah, I got to the theater at 7. Like, I'll go get some snacks and stuff like that. Walk in there. I'm like, I've missed the first 12, 15 minutes of this movie.
That's so good. A Kevin Smith movie, it might be the best. You know, the first 10 minutes might be your funniest
part. That's the thing. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm like, dang it. I missed the first like 10 minutes or so of this thing because of that. Because I've been conditioned. We have been conditioned.
I agree.
I go normally to, let's say, a 7 o'clock movie.
It really doesn't start till like 7:28.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I'm dead serious on that. 7:28. I'm like, oh. So yeah, I had zero sense of urgency to get into the theater right at 7. Thanks.
Thanks, theater.
Thanks, theaters.
Just be consistent. That's
exactly.
all I ask.
That's all I ask.
If you're going to be 20 minutes late, just be 20 minutes late every time, yeah. and then we can know. We can plan
That's
around
fine.
That. Yeah.
It was an enjoyable movie, though. Yeah. Anthony Davis got injured.
Whoa, like in real life, he's hurt?
No. His video game character. So there's a video floating around of Anthony Davis of the Lakers playing NBA 2K, the latest edition.
Okay.
He's playing as himself.
Okay.
Goes up, blocks a shot.
He
would have
something important.
Nope, that's not the right one.
So things are going
well. He's going up there. Yeah, coming in like, I'm going to block this shot. Sure enough, after he blocks the shot, he gets hurt. So him playing as himself got hurt. He can't avoid it. It's all a thing with Anthony Davis. I think he's had about 77 injuries in his career.
In general, that's got to be one of the coolest parts about being a celebrity athlete. I don't care if you're a golfer, hockey player, soccer, basketball. Do they have lacrosse video games?
There has been some like small indie game stuff that really isn't that great, but I would love to see it.
But
though.
Like,
there actually used
being
to be an
able
old
to,
indoor game.
Being able to play as yourself.
Yeah.
In a video game, like that you didn't create. Nowadays, everybody can create their own character, but like the game was made and anybody could just pick and play with you. Being able to play as yourself, I guess that's the better way of phrasing it. Play as yourself, but it would be one of the coolest experiences. But Anthony Davis getting hurt within like minutes of him playing the game was fantastic.
It's wonderful. All right, last but not least, one more thing. This is the second straight weekend college football has had a viewership of a game of over 10 million viewers.
App State, Texas A&M?
No, it was not that one.
UNC, Georgia State?
No, it was not that
NC State, Charleston Southern on Bally Sports?
No, it was not that one. Gosh, that was a pain in the tail to find.
I hate griping about this because, you know, it's like, you know what package you have and you know what you can get and not get. And you know what it's going to be, right? But it still does seem to bug me. I don't know. We could talk about TV. And now haven't they released their like Bally Sports plan for if you want to pay and be a subscriber to watch all the games?
Yes, it's called
Bally
Sports Plus because we've got to throw pluses on everything now.
Yeah.
But the game, by the way, was Alabama-Texas. Just averaged just under 10.6 million.
All right, that makes sense.
It was network. It was on Fox. So it was over the air, which
Alabama
is helpful.
And Texas.
And it was the big noon kickoff,
yes.
Which was a very entertaining game too. So, yeah, Bally Sports Plus is out there. It's like $20 a month. But here's the thing. You still only get what's within your region. So you can't, let's say, get Hornets games if you're in Raleigh because we're technically not in the
– No, that's no good.
It's Which is stupid.
No, I was like, if I could get – if you're giving me all Canes and all Hornets games that aren't on, you know, TNT or ESPN or whatever.
Yeah.
I would – like, 20 seems a little high. I'd rather it be 12, but like – We're kind of spoiled sports fans now, right? Remember, like, when you wouldn't be able to see the Hurricanes ever unless you went to a game, right? Like, I don't know. Like, $20 a month doesn't seem that much to pay if we were getting Canes and Hornets.
Well,
I don't know if I'm
think a
just
lot of
Canes.
People were hopeful that you can get Canes, Hornets, and Braves.
Yeah.
Which would have been like, if you're a fan
stack
of –
stack more teams up
yeah,
there. Yeah,
you absolutely loaded. But there's different things with each sport in terms of – rights fees for streaming and stuff with each league. So there's different things along those lines. So it's mostly going to be basketball and hockey heavy, but I mean, $20 a month just to watch Canes games. Whereas a lot of people, what they'll use is a VPN and set themselves in Jackson, Wyoming and just watch the game via ESPN Plus.
Did you see recently? I know we got to go.
You could do that.
The ships across the world are now using VPNs to disguise where they are, like to not have to pay fees, or like certain ships aren't supposed to be in certain countries because of sanctions or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so they found these people by using VPNs, and they made the comparison. They're like basically the same device that people use to claim they're in a different place to watch cable. I'm like, that's what pirates are now using. I was like, but how do we know? They aren't just trying to watch the Canes, but they're not in the local market. Like, they're not trying to do anything bad. They're just trying to watch the Canes.
Is that boat actually on Salt Lake?
Is it? Yeah.
Just like that person?
Are they in Morehead City, or are they just trying to pretend to be there so they can watch the Canes on regional TV?
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so you're hands-free to get more done during calls. And with Multi-Window View, you can use up to three apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
This is the song that Dennis Cox has on his online dating profile. Can you do that? Can you put a song on it? Like when people pull up your thing? You should be able to do that.
It's like MySpace?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, yes. But like when they pull up and it's a picture, like you should be able to have a song play, right?
There are some apps where you can like link different stuff to it.
But I don't want to be linking.
But you can put like a song
music needs to be
that someone can play.
So then they associate that music with your profile.
Actually, I don't have that song, no.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it's time for one of my favorite parts of the show. It's when I get to play with Adam Gold's fake units. It is Place Your Bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can own me. I owe you rent.
All right, for the record, I feel like, once again, I'm getting screwed over here. In the Wednesday, there's nothing to bet on. I got to go to some random stuff. And I don't feel comfortable picking games or events that happen in the future, like games this weekend, because Adam Gold has come in here and make his own picks, and then he's saddled with mine, right?
Yeah.
Like, for a while, I took a flyer on Sam Darnold being the starter for the Panthers.
You did.
And Gold had to just sort of own that for, like, 2 months.
It's true.
So I don't like my picks. I don't think they're good. But it's what I got, and it's sporting events that are happening tonight.
Yep.
So we'll start off here. Champions League.
Okay.
I'm going for big money wins here, by the way. A lot of splash. I feel like Adam Gold's got the units to spend.
Oh, yeah.
Chelsea-Salzburg, I got that as a draw, plus 410. But let me say something.
I see a plus 475.
All right. Well,
so you'll take that, though.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Let me say something very quickly. Soccer gets it right. The bets are based on the end of regulation, mm-hmm. right? If you pull for like if you bet Pitt to beat Tennessee this weekend,
yeah,
I don't even know what the line was, but it was probably Tennessee minus four or something like that, right? Pitt played them tough, played in the game. Ultimately, it went to overtime, but at the end of 60 minutes, Pittsburgh plus four should have won. But now when they lose in overtime because Tennessee scores a touchdown and they don't, Tennessee ends up covering. But, like, that's not the actual reflection of what happened in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Pitt had lost by one, you would have won your bet. Instead, by being tied, you get worked over. Soccer, they get it right. Forget the extra time. Forget the penalty kick. You can bet on that live if you want to. But so I like that about soccer. All bets should end at regulation, whatever the score is. Overs, like if you bet the over and then it goes to like three overtime, they just add up another 20 points at the end of what's been a low-scoring game. That's crap. It's crap. So anyway, that's my take, and that's my first bet. Chelsea-Salzburg plus 475.
All right, my first
draw.
Bet, I'm taking Chelsea to beat Salzburg. I'm going to parlay that with Napoli beating Rangers, parlay that together plus 160.
Why are you going to take a game that I took? Like, I took a draw, and you're going to go ahead and just bet against that?
That was going to be my pick. Anyway.
Right out of the gates?
Yeah.
All right. All right, this one's interesting. You ready?
Go for it.
I got White Sox 6, Rockies 4. I don't mean I've got the White Sox minus 2. I don't mean I've got the White Sox in the money line. I've got exact score. White Sox 6, Rockies 4. Plus 3,000, baby.
Nice.
We're playing the lottery today.
All right.
We're picking a number on the roulette wheel. We're trying to win big. Let's do it.
Always bet on black. That's my rule when it comes to roulette. All right. Juventus versus Benfica. Give me a draw, plus 235.
All right. My final bet, Euro basketball, because what
there
else?
You go.
I wanted to go with Slovenia. They were 13-point favorites over Poland, but I just don't feel like touching that big of a spread. This is Euro basketball.
Yeah.
You're playing for your country, right? Poland's not just going to walk in there and
Greece lost yesterday.
Let them lose by double digits. All right, so speaking of Germany, their favorite over Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about either team except for that historically, Spain's been pretty good. So it's kind of like when you see Duke as an underdog in basketball.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what? Just on principle, I'm taking Duke. And Alabama's an underdog in football, you just take Alabama. When Spain in Euro basketball is an underdog to Germany, I'm taking Spain on the money line to win outright plus 150.
Okay. All right. I'm going to the Premier Lacrosse League Championship, which is this weekend. Because
Boo.
You're here and I'm here and we're making this together.
Boo.
I'm giving you a part. I'm giving you a bet here, sir. You want a prop bet? Blaze Reardon, goalie for the Chaos, gets a point plus 750.
Goalie
gets a point.
So he
plus
can, that can be an assist, right?
Yes.
Yeah, is it like hockey? Do they have two assisters? Are they just
no.
throwing away? You actually have to
no,
pass
like,
it to
more
the guy
like
who
basketball,
scores.
Yeah.
All right, if you say so. Or obviously, if he scores himself,
that also counts.
That would do it as well. How many points does he have on the season? Do you know?
I think maybe one. Actually, I have two. Actually,
all right.
He actually when he plays indoor professionally, he plays attack.
Interesting.
So the dude's got some skills.
All right. So the other thing is, every time I come in here, and I know you guys just do this for entertainment purpose only, and you keep your own tally. Obviously, I don't think anybody's lying. Mm-hmm. I think it's it's an honor system, but I believe in both of your honors, right?
Yes.
Gold just keeps racking up fake units.
Yeah, I know.
Like, at some point, he's got to think, well, maybe I should lay down some of these.
Yeah, I know.
That's a decent
chunk of change.
We
can't do it in North Carolina.
I know.
Well, at one point.
He could drive to Danville or out to, Cherokee or Kings Mountain now.
Yeah, he just drive across the border.
He'd go to Tim Moore's Casino out there in Kings Mountain.
So, I, at one point, was down minus 2,700.
Yes.
I'm at plus 1130.
See, I think you might be lying.
No, I'm dead serious.
I think you might be 100% serious.
I was chipping away. I think you might be cheating.
No.
I was chipping away,
I'm challenging your integrity. Okay. I think you might be cheating. But
wow.
Adam,
up here,
plus,
let's go.
Plus 5,400. Like, at some point.
Challenge his integrity.
He's got to think, no.
He's cooking books. He's fixing games.
I've seen it. Just don't let him give any of his picks to Jillia. Just keep them separate.
This is the Adam Gold Show.